You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Friday, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Balls, your team every day. We've made it to the end of the work week, everybody. So as we do each and every Friday, congratulations. Clap, clap, clap. If you're listening to this early Friday morning, kill the day and get to the weekend. That's what I try to do each and every week as well. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, contributor to the VolQuest website. And this is Locked On Vols. As you guys know, each and every weekday morning when you wake up, wherever you get your podcasts. I got a jam-packed information full of show, if that makes sense. Let me try that again. Got a jam-packed show full of information. Second time's a charm. In segment number one, kind of go over my observations from viewing two practices this week. Of course, later this morning, Friday morning, we'll have another chance to view a practice. But what I've seen, who's been sticking out for Tennessee football in spring, and we'll talk some quarterbacks a little bit. All that in segment number one. So spring practice observations in segment number one. In segment number two, I'm going to talk a little bit of recruiting. Not really necessarily, you know, where Tennessee stands with some of these prospects, but how Tennessee is going about recruiting here in this unusual time, especially with a new coaching staff. So that's coming up in segment number two. And in segment number three, Jordan Bowden, former Tennessee guard, currently in the G League. He joined Sports 180 on the Sports Animal with Josh Ward and Heather Harrington. And they had a great conversation. Going to play some of those clips, and that'll be in segment number three. All that and more coming up here on a Friday, Locked On Vols. Let's get down into it. All right, so Thursday's practice, that was the second practice the media was allowed to view. It was practice number four overall so far in camp. It was the second practice in full pads. Again, the first thing I do each and every time I go to practice is I take roll. Who is out there? Who is missing? Who is in a black non-contact jersey? Who is not dressed out? Who is limited and all that type of stuff? So for the second practice in a row, Latrell Bumpus, Riley Locklear, Lenneth Whitehead, Christian Charles, Jimmy Holiday were all in a black jersey. Jerome Carvin, offensive lineman who was not at Tuesday's practice, he had to go home for a bit, and nothing major, but he is now back with Tennessee. He was in full pads, and he was at Thursday's practice. Not in full pads, Jalen Hyatt, Tyon Evans. I think those guys are nicked up a little bit, nothing too serious. Malachi Wideman was in full pads, but for the second straight practice that we were viewing, he was a limited participant, so it didn't look like he was full go. Let's talk quarterbacks a little bit. So through two practices, you know, when we're out there, and keep in mind too, media's out there for just a brief time, about, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. The quarterbacks have been starting off when we're there, kind of practicing inside run, their handoffs with the running backs for a little bit. And then the quarterbacks will go over and be by themselves. They'll take snaps on air in the gun. They'll practice their play action. They'll practice their rollouts. They'll practice their RPO reads. On Thursday, the quarterbacks were also practicing, you know, happy feet inside the pocket, avoiding pressure from inside, and then getting the throw off. And then from there, the quarterbacks, while the media is in attendance, I have to keep throwing out that disclaimer because I don't want people to hear what I'm saying, and then, you know, as soon as media leaves, they change it all up, which is very possible, and it's happened before. But when media is in attendance, from there, the quarterbacks will link up with the wide receivers and the tight ends, and they will throw passes on air, okay? And from the first two practices, while the media's been there, and there I go again, I'll tell you who's looked the best. And that doesn't mean he's going to be the starting quarterback. That doesn't mean that he's going to be a serious player for the position come fall. But I do think it's worth noting. And it certainly doesn't mean he's been perfect while we've been there. But the quarterback that stood out to me so far, after being in attendance for two practices, is Brian Maurer. Again, Brian Maurer, an Elite 11 quarterback. He was in the class of 2019. He was, you know, heavily sought after by some Power 5 programs. Ohio State was in the mix. UCF really wanted him as well back when Josh Heupel was there. I've mentioned that a couple times. But, you know, Brian Maurer, he fits this offense. He really does. He's super athletic. He's got such a strong arm. He's got such a quick release. And when I've been watching Brian Maurer compared to the other quarterbacks going up and, you know, against passes on air and all that, and again, it's on air, no rush, Maurer's release is quicker than the other two's by and large. I would say Hendon Hooker's got a good release. It's not bad. Harrison Bailey's release is probably slower than both of those guys, and it's probably on down there a little bit. But in terms of Brian Maurer, got such a strong arm. He threw the deep ball really, really well yesterday when we were there. He's got zip on that ball. They run 5 yard outs, and he puts a lot of zip on that spiral, tight spiral. But then he would miss. He would skip a couple of balls on some 5 yard outs. He would overthrow receivers doing, you know, flag routes, stuff like that. So he wasn't perfect. I would say of everybody I saw, he was the most inconsistent as well. And so he's sticking out. He's flashing the most, but he's also the most inconsistent. And so if that stays true, it's hard to play a quarterback that's like that. And that's probably why you haven't seen a whole lot of Brian Maurer so far in his career. You've seen some. You've seen splashes. But inconsistency, I think, is what, you know, kind of derails him. Also, you know, when you're in an 11-on-11 setting, when you're, and we've seen this a little bit in the game, but when you got, when you're going up there, all the pre-snap stuff, the defense shifting, changing coverages, rolling down to cover three, all that type of stuff, the motion for the offense, all that pre-snap stuff, I think that's what also kind of gets him down as well. And so those are some hangups for Brian Maurer, but I do think it's worth pointing out, Brian Maurer's looked, probably if I had to rank him so far from what I've seen, and again, this is no type of, there's no starters right now whatsoever. All three of those guys are splitting reps, and this is really all across the board for the entire team. But if I had to rank them so far, I'd probably say Brian Maurer's one, Hendon Hooker's two, Harrison Bailey's three. But again, it is early on. I mean, Hendon Hooker's very athletic. He's got a big arm. He's got a decent release. He's looked solid. He's looked fine. Harrison Bailey hasn't looked bad, but I just don't think that he's looked as good as the other two guys from what I've seen so far. So that's a little bit of a QB update so far through a couple of practices that the media has seen. And again, they'll be out there later this morning for practice number five. It'll be another full pattern. You move on down the offensive line. So I mentioned Jerome Carvin was not with the team on Tuesday. He had to run home for a bit. He was back, and he was going through drills as well. On the left side on Thursday, Dane Davis is still repping at tackle. Jerome Carvin was repping at left guard. Kayron Calvert was repping at left tackle. And Kingston Harris was repping at left guard. On the right side, you had Javonte Spraggins repping at guard. You had Darnell Wright repping at guard. You had Cade Mays, or sorry, you had Darnell Wright repping at right tackle. Cade Mays was repping at right tackle. Now on Tuesday, Cade Mays was repping at left guard. And then Chris Ogbonnaye was also repping at right guard as well. So you're already seeing early on, Cade Mays, they're kind of moving some guys around a little bit. Not really necessarily positions, but you know, tackle on the right side, the guard on the left side, vice versa, all that type of stuff. We've seen that already with Cade Mays. Cooper Mays and Parker Ball were snapping the football when we were there the other day. And so those are some offensive line observations. And I do think this is going to be an interesting conversation as spring goes on and we get through the summer into fall. In order to get your best offensive lineman, your best five out there, I think Cade Mays is going to have to play most likely left tackle. Keep in mind, Cooper Mays is probably going to snap the football. Your two guards will likely be Javonte Spraggins and Jerome Carvin. Your right tackle is probably Darnell Wright. And then Cade Mays will probably be your left tackle. I think that's the best starting five right now. Things can change. Kayron Calvert can change that conversation for sure. Some of these guys coming in the summer could change that conversation for sure. But it might be interesting because Cade Mays, I think we can all agree, he's very versatile. He can play all five positions on the offensive line. He started a game at center in the SEC back when he was at Georgia. But I think we've seen that Cade Mays is better when playing at guard. But in order to get your best five out there, he might have to play tackle. So he's been repping both of those throughout the spring so far. I didn't get to see a whole lot of defense on Thursday because I was primarily taking notes on the offensive end. But those guys just repping, drilling. Ball skills, fumble recovery skills, takeaway circuits. The defensive line was under the chute on Thursday, trying to stay low and repping all that type of stuff. The linebackers are still thin with numbers. Jeremy Banks has not been there from what I've seen so far. He's limited, banged up a little bit, and that's what Tim Banks said on Tuesday when he met with the media. Some other guys might be moved over there at some point. We'll have to see, but that's kind of the update I have so far in spring practice. But very early on, take everything with a grain of salt, but I do believe Brian Maurer has stood out a little bit. We'll have to see if that will carry over throughout the duration of spring practice. But that's a little bit of a spring practice update from me, who's been out there, boots on the ground, and I've been checking out all that stuff. Tennessee will practice again later today, and then we'll have to await another media schedule as we move on through week number three officially of spring practice. The Final Four this weekend, both the men's and the women's, by the way. Major League Baseball, first pitch was thrown yesterday on Thursday. The NBA, well on into the second half of the season. The NHL, the Predators are on such a hot streak right now. so much going on in the world of sports, and you need to get in on that action, win you some money, and you can do that at BetOnline. The fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And BetOnline even covers the award shows, television shows, reality television. It's real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's completely free to sign up. So, to sign up, head on over to the website or on your mobile device. And if you're a first-time user, if you're depositing for the first time, you are going to get a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. Again, they're going to give you money to play. So check it all out at BetOnline. All you have to do is use that promo code LOCKEDON if you're a first-time user. Promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, you can get all the sports news you need in less time. Again, with the Locked On Today podcast. It's how I start my morning, guys. After I listen, I go back and I air check myself on Locked On Vols. So if you guys want to do the same, you can follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And I want to have a conversation about recruiting here in segment number two. And it's not really, I mean, I'll mention, yeah, Tennessee's in good standing with the prospect and all that. But, you know, we're awaiting Tennessee's first commitment for the class of 2022. And I think you're going to get a couple here in the month of April. I strongly believe you're going to get one in the month of May for sure. But, you know, these commitments will start rolling in as they do each and every year. It's just kind of slow right now. But there's a big class here in Tennessee in-state talent. There's a ton of top 100, top 200, top 250 prospects for the class nationally in the class of 2022, and they call Tennessee home. And I've talked to a number of these guys, and I'm just kind of curious, what makes Tennessee stand out? What is Tennessee doing, and what is your pitch? What is Tennessee's pitch to you, said prospect? And I kind of jotted down some notes here, and I want to tell you guys, because again, you know, football's great, but recruiting's the name of the game. And if you can't recruit, you're not going to be coaching college football. You got to recruit, you got to develop. That's the total package, and that's why I think it's, man, to be a college football coach, you got to be on your game 24/7. If you remember what Cody Burns said back earlier this week on Tuesday, I believe, when he met with the media, he was asked kind of what's your recruiting pitch when you're out there recruiting, because you're talking about how much you love Tennessee and all that stuff, but you know, what's your recruiting pitch? And he said, hey, you know, a place like Tennessee can kind of recruit for itself. It's the facilities, the history. Just the storied program that is Tennessee. Everyone knows about Tennessee. And so my pitch, I'm speaking as if I'm Cody Burns right now, my pitch would be, why wouldn't you want to be a part of the class that brings it back? I mean, you might have statues if you do that, if you turn out to have such a great career. And I like that. I think that's a great way to go about it. Saying, okay, Tennessee's been here. Tennessee's done this. We all know about the Power T. I mean, And Tennessee's still one of the most passionate fan bases. And again, credit to you guys. Dan Matthews was talking about that on yesterday's show. You know, we still get great traction in sports talk radio here in Knoxville, Tennessee. The website I write for, VolQuest. You guys, and I know a lot of you guys listening right now listen to the radio and, you know, take part in VolQuest as well. And I can't thank you enough. But the point being is there's still such a need and such an urge and such a passionate fan base here, even though the team's not been great the last 10 plus years. So whenever Cody Burns is saying, why don't you want to be a part of the class that brings it back? I think that's kind of special a little bit. And so I like that from Cody Burns. And I thought that was interesting. So what is Tennessee doing that's sticking out to other programs in terms of recruiting? Well, I'll tell you this, Tennessee has done an excellent job connecting with these players virtually. Yes, virtual visits. We're hearing about prospects all around the country taking virtual visits or on-campus virtual visits where the prospects will go on campus, but since you can't be in contact, in-person contact with coaches right now, they'll get on FaceTime and they'll essentially say, okay, go here, look through this gate. And it's, you know, everyone's adapting. But what Tennessee is doing is they were getting these big Zoom sessions about a month after Josh Heupel took over the job. When he finally got his staff assembled, he had a monster Zoom session with a lot of in-state talent here from Tennessee and some of their top prospects, for the coaching staff. And they all put them on one big Zoom call. There was about 40 prospects on one big Zoom call, and from there they played music, they played some games, the coaching staff introduced themselves, said, hey, you guys are our targets, you guys are the ones we want. We know that all you guys aren't going to come here, but we want you guys. And that got rave reviews from a lot of these prospects. Move on to last weekend, and if you read my work on Twitter at _Kaner at VolQuest.com, you've been seeing that I've been speaking with some players that took part in a virtual junior day last Saturday with Tennessee. It was more of a condensed group. There was only about eight prospects or so that took part in it. But again, it was the same situation to where all these prospects came together on one big Zoom call, and then from there, they broke off into separate calls to where a prospect would be with a recruiting assistant, and that recruiting assistant would take a selfie stick and walk around practice, go to his position. Say it was a prospect linebacker or a prospect for a defensive end, they would go to the defensive line or to the linebackers or, you know, whatever, and they'd hold that selfie stick, and they would get to see coaches in action, they would get to see players repping and all that type of stuff. That is really unique. From there, they walked them around the locker room, walked them around the facilities and the cafeterias and all that. And then they all came back together. Josh Heupel took over and walked him down Peyton Manning Way and to the stadium and then showed him the coach's office and all that. And then they all came together again, played a game of charades, and then they ended the session, and then their position coaches would reach out to them, call them, text them, say, hey, what'd you think? Hey, thank you so much for being a part of it. That's what all these guys that I've talked to this week, Vincent Snead, Blake Gunter, Colin Wright, that's what all these guys have said. And Blake Gunter even, you know, mentioned, you know, I've never been, you know, everyone's having to adapt to the times right now, but the fact that Tennessee is incorporating multiple prospects in one Zoom call, it gives it an in-person feel, and it's very unique. You know, he's a tight end that's being recruited by a lot of schools around the country. He's just an example I'm using. He said no other schools kind of like that. It sets Tennessee apart. So I found that very, very interesting because, again, this is where, you know, we're almost out of COVID, thankfully, and you know, we're hoping to finally be back to normal at some point this summer. But everyone's had to adapt. But I think Tennessee, since Josh Heupel's come in and his staff, they've done a great job of even sticking out further than the rest and doing stuff like this. So I found that very, very interesting, and I hope you do too. I hope you do as well. I have articles up this week on Vincent Snead, Blake Gunter, Colin Wright. I'll have a couple more over the weekend. But you look at this in-state talent for Tennessee. Walter Nolan said that he's going to announce some finalists or a top list of some sorts at some point coming up. He's the number one player in Tennessee. Obviously a top 100 player, big defensive tackle. Tennessee's in the running, but not a favorite. Ty Simpson, of course, pledged his allegiance to Alabama. Caden Barton looks like he is going to play baseball if he goes to college. He's not going to play football at Tennessee, I don't believe. Keaton Wade and Destin Wade, they're the twins from Summit Hill, Tennessee, Summit High School. Keaton, a four-star linebacker. Destin, a four-star athlete. I've talked to these guys numerous times. I think Tennessee's in a really good position with them at the time. Dallin Hayden, a legacy. Of course, we all know Aaron Hayden. Chase Hayden, who played at Arkansas, is at Illinois now, played a little bit at Eastern Carolina. It's a football family. Dallin Hayden is a four-star running back from Christian Brothers High School in Memphis. It is an Oregon, Notre Dame, Ohio State race along with Tennessee. Byron Brown, an athlete from the Mid-States. Tennessee's in that one. Fisher Anderson, an offensive lineman from the in-state. Tennessee's very much in that one. Isaiah Horton, a wide receiver from Oakland High School. It's Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. Florida as well. Same with Cam Miller. Jordan Bryant-James, 10th-rated prospect in the state of Tennessee. He actually committed to Georgia earlier this week. We mentioned that on this podcast, so that's one gone. Miles Pollard, a defensive back from Ravenwood. I think Tennessee has some interest there and seeing that conversation continue to blossom. Jacob Hood, I've written a couple stories on him at VolQuest. He was a guy that bloomed really, really late, but is a part of the NPA, National Playmakers Academy, down in Buck Fitzgerald, does a lot of that with NPA and, you know, is a training and coaching a lot of these players I'm mentioning. But Jacob Hood's really benefited from that. He continues to get a lot of Power 5 offers and offers from around the SEC. But, you know, Tennessee jumped on that early last summer, so I think Tennessee's in good spot there. You continue to work your way down. I could go on and on listing some names. I think Tennessee's in it very much so for Caden Pope of Hardin County, wide receiver. Langston Patterson actually committed to Vanderbilt last week. He's at NCP or NPA and that CPA, excuse me, the Christ Presbyterian Academy in Nashville. Patrick Cutis is a teammate of Dallin Hayden at Christian Brothers, offensive tackle. I think Tennessee's very good position there, along with Kinzie Paul. Point is, I can continue to go on and on and on. Tennessee's doing well, staying in the race for a lot of these guys, and I think a lot of these guys I just mentioned are going to start committing. You know, once I think they want to take some visits for sure, but you're going to see a lot of these guys start committing, you know, as we get into late spring, early summer. And I think Tennessee is going to be a major factor for a lot of these guys because they are setting themselves apart on the recruiting trail and building those relationships and just continuing it on there. So anyway, a little recruiting talk here on Locked On Vols. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I've grown in recruiting in that coverage. I enjoy it now. It took me a while, not going to lie. It's not for everybody, but I really do. I'm starting to enjoy the recruiting aspect of college football coverage. So you can check out some more work at VolQuest.com. Coming up in segment number three, Jordan Bowden joined the Sports Animal in Knoxville with Josh, our old friend, and obviously a contributor here on Locked On Vols every Wednesday for Ward Wednesday. We will get some audio and talk about that conversation when we return. But first, it's Built Bar. We've been doing Built Bar Madness all month long, where we've been voting on our favorite Built Bar. Of course, Built Bars are that protein bar that looks and tastes like a chocolate bar. It's 100% chocolate, but it's good for you. It's got low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting bar that's low calorie. All that is at BuiltBar.com. You can check them out. 18 flavors, 12 original flavors, and they continue to make more and more. They made 6 new flavors in the last little bit. You can check them all out. Get your orders at BuiltBar.com or at Bar_Built on Twitter. They're always tweeting out some promotions that'll link you to that website so where you can check it out. Use that promo code LOCK15 when you go to BuiltBar.com for 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15, LOCKED 15, to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Proud sponsors of the Locked On Podcast Network, specifically here on Locked On Vols. We love our Built Bars, and you can too. If you haven't tried them, check them out. BuiltBar.com. It's BuiltBar.com. Are you guys ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On the NFL Draft hosts Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on the 2021 Draft Prospectus with team-centric mocks right around the corner. Follow Locked On the NFL Draft Podcast on the Audacity app or wherever you get your podcast. A final segment here of the work week, everybody, and I want to get into some comments that Jordan Bowden made when he caught up with Heather Harrington and our friend Josh Ward on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal. It's noon to 3 Monday through Friday on the Sports Animal. You can check it out on the interwebs, download that free app, or on 99.1 FM if you're in the car and in the Knoxville area. So Jordan Bowden came on Sports 180, and you know, you remember Jordan Bowden, of course, you know who he is and everything, but he signed with the Nets at one point. Now he is in the G League, and according to the stats that I pulled up online, looks like Jordan Bowden's played in 14 games so far in the G League. He's averaging 7.8 points a game. He's shooting at a 36% clip from three, and he's shooting 43% overall. And so Jordan Bowden's trying to make a name for himself, trying to learn professional basketball, and that's kind of what he talked with Josh and Heather about when he caught up with them. I guess it was on Wednesday. Here is Jordan Bowden on his G League experience so far and what he's learned through the last probably calendar year or so.
For sure. You know, just learning that pro game, you know, just it's a lot of stuff I had to, you know, learn quick. And one thing that I had to learn really quick is they hate that mid-range shot. And that's one thing I was good at, you know, and kind of developed over time during my career at UT. But that's one thing that they told me, just try to take it out of your game a little bit and just focus on, you know, getting to the basket, creating for others, or, you know, shooting that three. So that's probably one of the toughest transitions. But, you know, other than that, you know, the G League's been great. You know, you're going up against guys that every night, you know, they're fighting just like you are, trying to get that contract or, you know, that call up. So, you know, it's been real fun because I love to compete. So that's one thing that, you know, that's all it's about over there.
So Jordan Bowden, the basketball player, and, you know, a pretty good one, especially here on Rocky Top. But Jordan Bowden also very, very involved in the community, whichever community he's in now, but also here at home. Remember, he's from Carter High School, was a standout player here in Knox County. And if you live in the area, you knew Jordan Bowden's story well before he got to Tennessee. And you've seen him help out with the Special Olympics. He was just at Carter High School, I want to say last week, helping out, doing some things. So Jordan Bowden is so active in his community. Really, it's a mission for him. And he was asked about that, and here's his answer on why community service is so big for him.
It's always been important to me because, you know, I never forgot where I came from. I never forgot the people that helped me along the way throughout, you know, childhood to up to now. So it's always my objective to, you know, to go back to schools, go back to my high schools, go into community and help whatever I can. So it's just always been about, you know, it's the bigger picture for me. And it's not just about basketball. It's about going into your community, you know, impacting, you know, the youth, and just trying to do whatever I can to, you know, tell that next person that you can accomplish your dreams like I did. And that's just one thing I try to, you know, voice to the community.
And then finally, Jordan was also asked about his time at Tennessee, what it meant playing for Rick Barnes, what it meant playing for his hometown school that was literally 20 minutes away from where he grew up. And obviously the team was pretty good while Jordan Bowden was here. It didn't start that way, but it ended that way. And the question was asked, what about your time here at Tennessee? But when did you know that Tennessee was going to be special? When did you know that that team, that program, kind of turned the corner and is kind of where it is today? Here's Jordan Bowden's answer.
Yes, I would say that previous year, my sophomore year, when we were ranked 13th in the SEC, that in preseason, nobody thought we would, you know, be who we were. And, you know, it's just that whole season, you know, we were, you know, making a push, and nobody thought we would accomplish what we was accomplishing. And we all knew we had something special. And then that following year, when we were number one team in the country, all that hard work leading up to that point, you know, was paying off. And, you know, we all believed in one another. Coach Barnes pushed us past our limits. And we all just came together at that time. And, you know, we created something special there.
A lot of great stuff there from Jordan Bowden, of course, a hometown East Tennessee native, a Knoxville native, a VFL, and now pursuing a professional basketball career in the G League at current standing. So, appreciate Josh for letting me kind of plug that interview here on Locked On Vols. If you want to check out the complete interview, go to 991thesportsanimal.com. They talked with him for about 11, 12 minutes or so, and so plenty of other stuff from Jordan Bowden there. Guys, it's been a whole lot of fun this week. We have had a jam-packed week's worth of guests, starting with Jabari Davis, the VFL. If you did not hear Jabari Davis chat with me on Monday's show, I encourage you, go back, check it out. I labeled it Jabari Davis, VFL Jabari Davis, Talks Vols, whatever. Great, great stuff there. Also, Dan Matthews yesterday, Josh Ward on Wednesday. Had a lot of good guests this week, and I'm going to continue to get these guests on, some VFLs, and bring them to you because I know that's what you want. And so it's been a fun week's worth of shows, that's for sure. We'll continue the spring football conversation next week when we return. A whole lot to get into as we continue to pace towards that April 24th Orange and White game. That is when the date is, and so we'll continue to talk all the Tennessee football conversation leading up to that Orange and White game and have complete coverage when we get there as well. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in as you do each and every day, each and every week. It means more to me than you will ever know. Remember, Twitter Tuesday coming up on Tuesday. Get those questions in, and we'll talk again Monday. You guys have a great rest of your weekend, and remember, subscribe, rate, review, 5-star Friday. We're going to push it back to next week. Need some more reviews. We'll get it in there next week as we continue to listen to Locked On Vols. Have a great weekend, everybody.